Studio 360.
Amy Mann began her solo career in 1990, right after the breakup of her new wave band Till Tuesday. Since then, she has made 8 albums, each one filled with surefire pop, crowd-pleasing topics like ennui and existential dead ends and broken relationships. In 1999, her song Save Me was a major part of the great Paul Thomas Anderson movie Magnolia. It was nominated for both an Oscar and a Grammy, but her music plays an even bigger role in Magnolia. In one scene, all the characters sing along to her song Wise Up, whose lyrics end with the suggestion, just give up.
No, it's not going to stop,
so just give up.
No wonder she's got a reputation for making songs in the vicinity of malaise. And now, instead of fighting that caricature, she is embracing it. Her new album's called Mental Illness and may be her most Amy Mann-ish work yet. She and a couple of her collaborators are in the studio now to play songs from Mental Illness and talk about the music that influenced it. Amy, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we talk and I interrogate you mercilessly, will you play a song?
Yeah, this song is called Goose Snow Cone.
Looking into the face of the goose snow cone. Should be shaking it loose, but you do it all on. Every look is a truce, but it's written in stone. Gotta keep it together when your friends come by. Always checking the weather, but they wanna know why. Even birds of a feather find it hard to fly. Thought I saw in my feet an origami crow.
That was Amy Mann playing and singing Goose Snow Cone from her new album, Mental Illness. You are here with bandmates. Who are those men?
This is on guitar. I'm playing bass. On guitar is Jonathan Colton, who I co-wrote two or three songs with for the record. And John Spurney is on piano.
Jonathan Colton, of course, is a major mega celebrity to me, but he is on a game show. And what's the name of that game show, Jonathan?
It's called Ask Me Another.
See, now you recognize his voice. Having Jonathan Colton here is makes me think all of public radio exists in a big, like, studio lot, and people can just come from soundstage to soundstage.
I love this idea. Can I live on this compound?
Yes. Yes, you may. Before you announced this album, you said, and I quote you, "I'll just give myself permission to write the saddest, slowest, most acoustic, if they're all waltzes, so be it, record I could."
Yeah, that's about it.
So that quote was funny, but you also meant it, and you were kind of owning your stereotype.
Yeah, yeah, and pushing it and embellishing it.
Right. We know what makes sad lyrics sad, but we kind of sort of know it when we hear it of what makes sad music sad, but what does? I mean, is it like minor chords versus major chords?
Or? I think a mixture of the two. I think a juxtaposition of cheerfully brave lyric over sad music is, like, to me, super sad. You know, I mean, I think having things in contrast. I think all minor can get a little too, like, House of the Rising Sun, and then it's just that's kind of melodramatic, and melodramatic is not sad.
Only song I could ever play at 12 on a guitar was that one.
Yeah, it's a good choice.
So you, because you're a kind person, have made us a playlist of your favorite sad songs that inspired this album, some of them, which is also a Spotify playlist on our website, studio360.org.
Oh, my God. People are going to be weeping.
Well, that's what we're here for, really. I want to play some of them, and we're going to start with Elliot Smith's song. They're already weeping.
Yeah.
Called Waltz No. 2XO.
First the mic, then a half cigarette.
That is a waltz. You mentioned waltzes before.
Yeah.
Is there something sad about 3/4?
I think it's sad and wistful and bittersweet. It's kind of got it all. And it swings in a nice way. I really love the swingy feel of 3/4.
Well, let's listen to another track from your playlist. This is Dan Fogelberg's singer I haven't thought of in a long time, Same Old Lang Syne.
The beer was empty and our tongues were tired, and running out of things to say. She gave a kiss to me as I got out, and I watched her drive away. Just for a moment I was back at school.
So I have two questions. One, why are your bandmates laughing at you or you at them?
I think we're laughing at each other because we all know this song. This is a real Jonathan Colton influence. It's so soft and sad and 70s and maudlin.
Exactly.
John Spurney on the piano singing along with every word. Everyone in this room knows that song.
And so it was, you were drawn to it because it was your childhood, or?
I don't think I knew this. You played that song for me.
Oh, really? Did I introduce this song?
Yeah,
to you?
I don't think I was aware of this song.
Yeah. Jonathan Colton?
Yeah.
The spotlight's on you.
Oh, boy.
What's the case for Dan Fogelberg?
Dan Fogelberg is maudlin and maybe a little melodramatic and probably a little on the nose sometimes, but boy, that song is about being sad at Christmas, and if you don't feel melodramatic when you're sad at Christmas, I mean, you're not giving yourself permission to feel everything you can feel. Somebody's got to do that for us.
Well said. Well put.
Finally, someone asked me.
Finally, I can talk about Dan Fogelberg. Can we do an hour on Dan Fogelberg?
Okay. So, Amy, as you say, you have worked with many comedians, many of whom I guess are your friends. You made videos with Patton Oswalt, the great Patton Oswalt. I saw you on Portlandia. They seem like very different things to me. The sensibility I know of many musicians and many comedy people are different.
The crafts are different, but then here's you, here's Jonathan Colton, here's other examples. Is there a connection or is it just random?
Well, people that I think are very funny usually are very good word twisters and use language in a really interesting and precise way, because comedians are wordy. You know, they bend words
and they're sad on the inside.
Oh my God. They're just so damaged and so sad.
That cliche is true. That's one of it most
really
cliches
is.
Are true, of course.
It really is.
Yeah.
I know. And, you know, structuring a joke has its own rhythm. So that feels very musical to me. And it's a real intellectual process that I'm in admiration of.
Yeah. A non-comedian whom you admire, Joni Mitchell, the singer and songwriter of another song on your playlist, a very famous song called River.
It's coming on Christmas, they're cutting down trees, they're putting up reindeer, singing songs of joy and peace. I wish I had a river I could skate away on.
That is from Joni Mitchell's Blue, which must be one of the prettiest, saddest albums ever made. Is mental illness kind of your version of Blue 40-odd years later?
I think that's not a terrible comparison. I mean, I didn't grow up listening to Joni Mitchell. I think I heard that record much, much later. But it is, you know, it's starkness, the moodiness of that song, the sense of isolation. And I like how specific it is. You know, she's specifically in Los Angeles feeling totally cut off, thinking there is sort of an imaginary solution somehow, but there's not.
Yeah. During last fall's presidential campaign, as part of, I guess you could call it, an anti-Trump project, it was called 30 Days, 30 Songs, you wrote and sang a song from his point of view, which was very unlike, I think, the other 29, and made me like it a lot. It's called Can't You Tell? Now, that's the chorus. I don't want this job. Can't you tell I'm unwell? For years now, I have been maintaining that his problem is that he is unwell. And so I was glad to hear that. But also I was glad to hear it not in the way I would say it, in this mean way about somebody else, but in this actually kind of sympathetic way from his point of view.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think like most people, if they could if they could behave better, they would be behaving better. I don't think he has...
Speaking of mental illness.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he can control himself. I think he has very distorted thinking that leads him to make the decisions he makes.
Right.
I mean, I hate when people do this armchair diagnosis.
Yeah,
but
I don't.
But what the hell? Let's go. I think he probably has a little dementia. I think he is wildly narcissistic. I think he, you know, maybe has some other personality disorder. Like he feels a little manic. He feels like if has a flavor of maybe somebody's taking Adderall and a little of amphetamine addiction. So that would just be my wild guess.
Well, thank you, Dr. Mann. I want to thank you very much for talking
about
making sad music and sharing your favorite sad songs and making this playlist and all that. But will you and those two dudes play another song?
Yeah, let's do it, dudes.
And what this is called?
This is Patient Zero.
One, two, three.
Serve you champagne like a hero. When you landed, someone carried you back. Here on out, your patient zero, smelling ether as they hand you the rag. Life is good, you look around, think I'm in the right neighborhood, but honey, you just moved in. Life is grand, and wouldn't you like to let it go as planned?
That's Amy Mann playing Patient Zero from her new album, Mental Illness, which is out now.
You can watch a video of her performance here in our studio at studio360.org. That's where you'll also find the playlist of all 10 of Amy's favorite sad songs, including tracks by Randy Newman, Frank Sinatra, and Fiona Apple.